2012 was coming into view, we took an audio trip through 2011, remembering all the newsworthy events of the year for us here in Skagway, Haines, and Klukwan. Like in past years, we now hear from surrounding communities in what they highlight from 2011. Today, we hear from KCAW in Sitka, KRBD in Ketchikan, KFSK in Petersburg, and KSTK in Wrangell.
This is Ed Ronco in Sitka, where one of the biggest stories of 2011 stemmed from an incident in 2010. At the end of September, the U.S. Coast Guard brought charges against Lieutenant Lance Leone, the sole survivor of a 2010 helicopter crash in which three people from Air Station Sitka died. Leone was charged with the deaths of two of the crewmen on board, as well as the loss of the helicopter and dereliction of duty. The evidence against him was heard in Juneau in December, and as of deadline for this story, the Coast Guard is still weighing whether to recommend a court-martial against Leone or to handle the matter internally. An ongoing story in Sitka in 2011 was the city's struggle with electricity. Sitka is running short of hydropower. Demand is exceeding the city's ability to generate electricity from two lakes, and in the meantime, the city is burning diesel fuel to provide additional power. While the city works to raise a dam at Blue Lake, Sitkans have been urged to save electricity. The calls for conservation have been met with skepticism from some residents. The message might become clearer as Sitkans look to their electrical bills into 2012. The city has added a diesel surcharge to pay for the cost of the extra electrical generation. If 2011 saw a lot of problems with electrical energy, there were successes from human energy, namely the hundreds of people who took time this year to restore the campus of Sheldon Jackson College. The college closed in 2007, but in January, its trustees gave the core campus to the Sitka Fine Arts Camp. After more than 18,000 hours of volunteer work and $400,000 in donations this year, the boards are off the windows, the lights are back on, and in June, the place was once again teeming with students. So much so that Executive Director Roger Schmidt could barely contain his excitement on the first day of camp.
One spot, you've got three kids playing their instruments in this gazebo. I go up a little further, there's a kid with a camera taking pictures of pansies that one of our volunteers put in this flower bed. And then you've got two girls painting on the other lawn, and camp hasn't even started. You know, I mean, it's like, what? This is too much. It's just great.
The deterioration of the historic campus has stopped, and while there's a lot of work ahead for the camp and its 19 buildings, there's also a lot of optimism among camp supporters that anything is possible in the year ahead. This is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison. 80-year-old Jack Shea was arraigned in December on 91 counts of possession of child pornography. Ketchikan Deputy Police Chief Josh Dossett.
Mr. Shea had brought in his computer to have some work on it. It was having problems printing. The tech put the printer and the computer together and turned them on. And when they were hooked up and turned on, the printer began printing out pictures that were already queued in the computer. Several of those pictures were of child pornography.
For years, Shea has been steeped in Ketchikan's political establishment, serving as mayor of both the city and borough, as well as serving on the borough assembly, school board, and city council. District 1 Republicans launched a recall effort against Ketchikan Representative Kyle Johansson in May. The Republican lawmaker came under fire after his decision to walk out of the House Majority Caucus and give up his position as House Majority Leader in November of 2010. In October, the Division of Elections rejected the recall application. 2011 was marked by a flurry of major construction projects in the First City. The community is currently constructing a new swimming pool, library, and fire station. A major renovation of the city's downtown cruise ship dock is also underway, as is construction of a new 20 million cubic foot ship assembly hall at the Ketchikan shipyard. Some of the highest concentrations of paralytic shellfish toxins ever were found in scientific samples collected around Ketchikan this summer. And finally, Ketchikan made national headlines after a black bear wandered into a packed Tatsuta's grocery store and jumped into the store's produce case. A video of the incident was posted on YouTube. The video has since been viewed more than 600,000 times. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
Liechtenstein and Petersburg, where the town's effort to form a borough was one of the biggest ongoing issues throughout 2011. Under that plan, the city of Petersburg would become a borough encompassing an area roughly 100 times the size of the current municipal boundaries. Petersburg submitted its petition for state review in April. Supporters cite the increased tax base and greater say in area issues as reasons to form a borough.
I live very close to the city limits, and I feel like I pay very little of my fair share of the city costs and expenses. I'm also a city worker, and I just feel like it's irresponsible to not burrow up.
But the borough plan's drawn vocal opposition from most people in the small city of Kuprnov and many other outlying residents who would be brought into the new boundaries.
I mean, I'm not anti-government, but I don't want to be part of a borough. I don't want to have to pay property taxes to the city of Petersburg. I don't want to have to get a building permit.
Petersburg's borough boundaries are also being contested by the communities of Cake and Juneau. The latter has responded with a competing annexation proposal. The town's new library project also stood out in the news this year. After an extensive campaign by library advocates, local voters narrowly approved a bond measure for $1.5 million, or 20% of the project cost.
And I think we had a good result for us. We're very pleased that it passed. Because of the close vote, though, I think as we move forward, we'll keep a close eye on everything, keep being as fiscally conservative as we have been all along.
The state of Alaska and other backers already committed to provide the rest of the funding for the project. And in another major project this past year, Petersburg's contractors built the town's new fire hall, which was all paid for with state money. It looks like Petersburg will no longer share its state lawmakers with Wrangell, Sitka, and Ketchikan. This fall, the city lost its legal challenge of Alaska's new legislative lines, which leaves Petersburg in a new district with Juneau and Skagway. Petersburg and its largest employees union finally settled on a labor contract this fall after well over a year and a half of mostly stalled negotiations and often acrimonious debates. Statewide news broke in the summer that Senator Lisa Murkowski's fisheries aide and former Petersburg fisherman Arnie Fugelvog would plead guilty to breaking federal fishing law. Fugelvog had long been a prominent spokesman for the industry and a public supporter of the individual fishing quota system that he was ultimately convicted of violating. Petersburg's fishing industry and municipal officials spent a lot of time discussing how to improve local infrastructure to support the fleet. And after being closed for a half a year with an uncertain future, Petersburg's only full-service shipyard reopened and hauled its first boat under new ownership in the summer. It was a relief to local fishermen.
Well, it's important for us. We got to have somewhere to get our boats hauled and painted and worked on. And I think everybody realized that here in town. And we got her back open.
Petersburg company Pissin and Rudder bought the shipyard with other local investors, including fishermen. And there was excitement on the docks in 2011 as local seine crews got ready for a big year.
Never seen prices like it before.
Overall, Southeast Alaska's combination of big harvests and high prices in all gear groups produced the most valuable salmon catch for any region in 2011. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
2011 was a year of economic development for the town of Wrangell. I'm Charlotte Duran with this look back. Last spring, work began on Wrangell's downtown revitalization project. Over the next year, improvements will be made to Wrangell's central business district, roads, sidewalks, and public works infrastructure. Crews finished paving the cul-de-sac and sidewalks near the entrance to City Dock, as well as some utility work on Front Street before the winter shutdown in early December. The project is comprised of five phases, all scheduled for completion by August of 2012. Paving and utility work was also done at Wrangell's Marine Service Center and Heritage Harbor. And planning continues on the long-awaited Mariner's Memorial, which will be located at that harbor. After nearly a decade of planning and grant writing, the historic Chief Shakes Tribal House in Wrangell's downtown harbor is now in the midst of a major restoration project. Under the direction of Wrangell's Cooperative Association, carvers from all over Southeast Alaska, as well as Master Carver Wayne Price of Haines, came to Wrangell for the project. The project developed Wrangell's first women's adzing team and promoted community participation in Tlingit activities. At this time, the group of carvers is in the process of adzing over 7,000 square feet of cedar while preparing for the dismantling and replacement of the clan house walls and posts. The reconstruction is set to begin in the spring of 2012. In a special election on November 15th, Wrangell residents voted in favor of the construction of a new replacement hospital facility. The facility is expected to cost an estimated $29 million and will be located off Edelin Street on city land designated for the new hospital and Alaska Island Community Services Clinic. A construction team is finalizing design and budget logistics of the new hospital, while construction of the AICS clinic is already underway. School started this year with cheers as kids at Evergreen Elementary School rushed on to their new playground. After years of planning and over $1 million, the new facility was completed in September. The new playground was not the only change for Wrangell School District. After 8 years as school superintendent, Woody Wilson retired. Replacing Wilson is new school superintendent Richard Rhodes. Even with all the work going on around town, there was still time for fun. Wrangell's annual Bear Fest brought out hundreds of locals and tourists to participate in the summer's week-long events, which included a 5K race, lecture series, and performance by Seattle, Washington-based musical group Pearl Django. Wishing all a happy new year and good things to come in 2012, I'm Charlotte Duran in Wrangell.
That was part one of our annual region-wide look back at 2011. We had reports from Ed Ronco in Sitka, Deanna Garrison in Ketchikan, Matt Lichtenstein in Petersburg, and Charlotte Duran in Wrangell. Next time, we'll hear from Casey Kelly and Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau and Southeast reports. Likewise, the KHNS recap of local news from 2011 is aired this time of year on stations throughout Southeast Alaska. If you want to find your local year-end report, it's posted at khns.org under December 30th, 2011. You can include it in your own New Year's greeting to faraway friends. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.